Hi, families. Welcome to this episode. Before we get started, I wanted to take a second to tell you about Gab Wireless. They are the creators of the world's safest phones for kids ages 4 and up. Now, I'm speaking as a parent who has had to deal with making the decision of whether or not to get my kids cell phones. So I highly recommend that before you buy your child a cell phone, do yourself a favor and look into Gab's devices. They are the perfect alternative to fully loaded smartphones. And they include everything that your child needs to stay connected to you, minus the distraction and risks like social media and the internet. Plus, I can personally attest to how nice it is to talk to my children on their own devices instead of having to go through my ex. For example, my older daughter, who's around 12, has the Premium Plus phone now. And my youngest, who is 6, has the watch, which she's had for a couple of years, and they call me whenever they need me and send me texts whenever they need me. So it's been really, really awesome for us. Not to mention how super affordable Gab's devices and accessories and calling plans are. So if you're in the market for a phone for your child, go to Gab Wireless, that's GABBWireless.com, and at least comparison shop, right? No harm, no foul. And if you decide to shop and get something, you can get an exclusive discount just for being a listener if you use our promo code. And that code is COPARENT. See? Easy to remember. COPARENT. COPARENT. So feel free to use it. And if you become a proud Gab parent, don't forget to tag us on social media. I'm Rosalie Farnsworth, and this is the Co-Parenting Collective. This week, we swap wisdom with Aaron, a London-based single dad who co-parents his two boys with their moms. Listen in as he talks about dating and communication and why it's vital for him to be the best father he can possibly be. Hello, Aaron, and welcome to the Co-Parenting Collective. I'm so glad you're here. I've wanted to talk to you for so long because I admire many of the things that you do with your sons and just as a person. My guest today is Aaron Dale. He is the father of two boys, two different relationships, and he calls that double co-parenting, which we've decided that's a term. Okay, don't
anybody come for us. Yeah.
That's official. It's official. His sons are 13 and 7. He's a personal trainer and he mentors boys ages 15 plus. Through fitness, right? And also like goal setting and life stuff.
Life skills, yes.
And then he also has a YouTube channel under Raising Boys to Men, which is awesome. Is that a play on Boys to Men?
I'm the biggest Boys to Men fan.
Are you? I was too. I'm like, I wonder if that's a play on Boys to Men. And then I see your stories and your music, and I'm like, I bet it is, and I'm gonna ask.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it made sense. So
yeah, and it's easy to remember. And then if you're a fan, you know, yeah, it's like you got little double entendre there. The question is, do you play Boys for Men? Do you play the old school stuff for the boys that you mentor?
Not for the ones I mentor, for my own kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we do that, don't we? We play our own music for our kids, and
yeah, they have to like it.
They have to, or else we disown them. I'm kidding. My first question is with the two boys and two separate relationships. Yes. What does your schedule look like?
In terms of having them and so and
yes. How do they separate, or do you have essentially them on the same schedule when they go to their moms?
Yeah, so obviously Amari's the eldest. So my schedule with Amari was always every other weekend from Friday to Sunday. So it would be one weekend with me, one weekend with his mom, although she would have him in between. If at any point I wanted to see him at any time around that, that would be fine. It's just that was our agreed schedule that would not change. And then Tyler came along. I had to, it was a bit more difficult to fit him into that because his mom wanted something different at first, which was understandable. Yeah, we came to terms and it's every other weekend. So the
So
same as
how old was, because there's a six, that 6 year difference.
yeah.
Omari was already, what, six or seven?
Mari was 6, just about to turn 7 when Tyler was born.
Okay.
So the co-parenting with Tyler didn't really start until Tyler was 1 and a half. Yeah, originally it was just obviously me and Amari.
Okay. And then with Tyler,
Yeah.
because he obviously had his brother, and then that relationship was important to, connect them and
Yeah.
get that relationship going as brothers.
Yeah.
But is it, I guess it's, is there a court orders, or you guys both with
No,
both
it's
brothers?
just
It's
an
just, this makes sense for our
it's
family.
just an agreement. Yeah, thankfully been able
Good.
to just have conversations and
Yeah.
communicate because I would never want it to go down that path where we're dictated to. It has to be this way. And I've come from, so I was raised by just my mom, and my dad has 3 children with another woman. So I have 3 sisters. We don't talk, there's no communication. The relationship's been very bad. And I've always said it's so important for me that Amari and Tyler's relationship is strong, even though they're not full brothers, so to speak. To them, they're fully connected. And that's vital to me, that they don't see themselves as half brothers or half siblings.
Off
They're
anything. Yeah. Yeah.
just brothers.
I agree with you because I have a similar situation. So I have a son who's much older
Okay.
from, I mean, he's 23 now.
Oh
And
wow. I would
yeah.
never have guessed. I would never have
Well, it was early.
guessed.
But he, yeah, so he's 23 and so I have two younger girls. One is 10 and one is 4.
Hey.
And I say that I've always said this is like their relationship will outlast my life, dad's life, everybody. So they need to be connected. And that's what we do. Thankfully, our family, all of us support like whatever they want to do together. And then we figure it out as the adults, if that
And
makes sense.
I love that. Was the connection there from the beginning, or was it quiet?
With my son's dad, it was not good. The split was not good. He's, let's just say politely, a high rev personality.
Okay.
So when we separated, we were exchanging that our son was just a baby then. So we were, the baby was going back and forth, and he wanted to go through court and do all of that stuff. Nightmare. What is it? You go to court, it's almost like collateral damage. You sort of re-hurt each other in court,
Yeah,
is what
yeah.
happens, right? Because you're throwing out this and that and the other thing. Okay. So once we got the court order, and that was in place, then we sort of followed it by the book. And then as when our son joined T-ball, we were able to kind of come like have little conversation. Oh, he did so good. And then it was like that. And then slowly moved forward. And you know that custody agreement we fought so hard for? Out the window. We didn't
Wow.
even follow it after he was like 4, 5 years old. Weekends, like you said, weekends and stuff like that,
Yeah.
because work schedules and all that was important to us. So we kept that. But anytime that our son called and wanted to come, go there, go here, whatever it was, even
It was fine.
grandparents, those relationships are important. You know what I
Yes.
mean? Extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins. So now it's like that. And then with my daughters, they tell us what's best for them. They're always together and we figure it out. The parents, the adults figure it out.
No, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And I love to hear that you guys do that as well.
And I suppose with me, because Amari's older now, I wonder in my head how long the weekend routine will last on the
Yeah.
basis that he's at that age where he wants to go off with his friends. Where
Yeah.
he's already there's been a few weekends when he said, "Oh, Dad, can I come later?" Or
Yeah.
because I'm doing this or doing that. So yeah, it's a different phase now.
Yes. And that's how it was with us too. And I always tell people, I'm like, why would I ever have held my son to a schedule that I made when he was a baby? Like a baby with no voice,
No interests, nothing. And yet he's basically locked into this thing for his entire life. It didn't make sense to me. Thankfully, his dad smartened up or whatever he did, got on the right track. But yeah, so it was the same thing. You see like these phases, I call it the triad. So you start with 0 to 6, they have their kind of go with the flow, right? And then 6 to 12, they start to kind of like break out, right? Their independence, they want to have a say. They might not want to even do anything on the weekend. They're like tired of the school and all that, because they think when school starts, right, it gets tricky. And then 12, and I say 12 to 18, whatever roots you've planted, the pruning that you've done from 6 to 12 really comes out, and you should give them the freedom to, trust your parenting and give them the freedom to spread their wings. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're sending this kid out into the world with what?
With no
With
foundation,
no foundation. They don't know how to choose anything. Everybody's chosen it for them. So.
I'm just noticing it more now. And I mean, he's very protective of his brother, so I feel that because their bond is so tight, he's always gonna wanna see his brother. So even if I collect Tyler on a Tuesday, I will always try and see if I can get Mari at the same time. However, it is one thing is key as well is having that individual time with them. And I feel even if they were two children from the same mother, that individual time is so important because they're different characters. They're each person. So as a dad, it's important to take that time to bond with them on an individual level and allow them to feel connected. Because there's certain things Amari won't want to talk about in front of Tyler.
Right,
Like a
definitely.
13-year-old boy is going through a
Yes.
yeah.
Cover your ears, Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That bond is so important, like you said. But I do take individual time. Like my 10-year-old says to me, she goes, "Mom, on Saturday, can it just be us? We'll just go and just have a girls' day."
So she
And
asks for that.
yes, we
Okay.
do that, and I can do that. And co-parenting allows me to do that. I pick up the phone. I say, "This is what I need to do." Okay, no problem. I'll pick her up so and so time, right? So then it's
Yeah.
just me and her, and I can do that. And these are the things I think that people don't understand about great co-parenting, or maybe that's just not on the radar yet, is that once it's like that, once you have the open access, like you said, you want to pick up both boys, you pick up the phone, you make a phone call. And if it
Yeah.
works out or makes sense, then you do it. But you can't have that if you're in and out of court, because you're just hurting each other, like literally re-hurting each other in perpetuity.
Sounds like a divorce as well, like that kind of procedure. It sounds, I mean, I don't know exactly how that works, but the children are obviously caught up in that as well. So I guess that can be really painful all around.
Yeah, I know that the energy does, it's infectious. They can understand if a parent's upset,
Yeah.
So, what struggles do you have with co-parenting? Do you have any?
I would say communication, and I know that sounds crazy,
No.
but again, having two different relationships, I'm co-parenting with two individual women. In an ideal world, they would be identical personalities, identical everything. For example, Amari's mom, she communicates completely differently to Tyler's mom, and the age plays a role. For example, Amari had a mobile phone probably at the age of 7 or 8, and that was on the basis that I don't need to communicate with his mom. She just wanted me, if I wanted to speak to Amari, I can call Amari. And I wasn't a fan of that because sometimes I need to speak to you. As the mom, there's certain things we need to agree or discuss. So that relationship and that parenting style is very much see your child when you see your child. If there's anything urgent, I'll let you know. But otherwise, we keep ourselves to ourselves. Whereas Tyler's mom is very much, if Tyler's had a bad day at school, I'll get a phone call. If Tyler's been upset, I'll get a phone call. There's so much more communication, which I love. But yeah, communication has been a struggle. There's certain things that I've wanted to know and haven't been informed of at times. And not being frustrated by that is probably key. In my younger days, I was very frustrated if I wasn't communicated with properly, if I wanted to see my child but was told I couldn't because something else was going on, I'd get frustrated. And then that would lead to less communication and then more restrictions and barriers put in place. So I guess I've learned over the years to just almost let what will be. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm being the best that I can to both children, mm-hmm. hopefully the relationships with their mums will be of a good standard. But if not, then my role is to be the best that I can be.
Right.
And I guess I've had a few conversations with friends sometimes where their main focus is to be great co-parents, mm-hmm. when I feel that's a plus. If you can co-parent well together, that's a plus. Mm-hmm. But that takes two of you coming together. Mm-hmm. Your role as a dad only requires you. No matter what happens outside of that, mm-hmm. that's your role. You can't blame anyone else for that. Be the best dad you can be. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will then create a strong co-parenting relationship. But again, that depends on each individual.
That's very true. Yeah. And I'm dealing with two different personalities as well. And, you know, some things that, you know, it's just working on how to say things. It's not that you can't do it if someone is not a good communicator or, again, is a high rev personality. Even all these years later, my son's dad is still that way. Okay. Yeah. But over the years, like you said, you know, when are you getting gobsmacked by it at first? You're like, whoa. But then you learn, okay, this is not working. If you're smart, you learn, this is not working. How do I do this? How can I do this? And how can I deal with it within the scope of what my skills are, or better my skills to deal with it?
Yes.
So that's what I've done. You know, it's a lot of growth. I tell people, I'm like, when you talk to me, you're getting the culmination of everything I've been through, all the work, all the therapy, all, no.
Just the build up, yeah.
Yes.
I suppose another major thing that I've struggled with at times is relationships. Mm-hmm. In
you
the
mean
sense
starting of, new relationships?
Not necessarily. I mean, people being around my children for example, if Amari's mum was to get with a new partner, for example, when I've been in relationships, I've always been very much, let me get to know the person. Mm-hmm. When I feel the time is right, I will let the mum know I'm thinking about bringing someone around the child. If there's anything you want to know beforehand, mm-hmm. I'm happy to disclose the information. We can talk, you can meet this person. And I've always felt that should always come back if the roles are reversed. Yeah. And it hasn't. And again, frustration can kick in because you're thinking, I'm showing you a level of respect here. Mm-hmm. Why is that not coming back? Mm-hmm. And you can easily then change your stance. Mm-hmm. Which I've refused to do. I'm very much, I feel like this is the right way to do it. So regardless whether you do that or not, I'm going to continue to do this. I've found out information through my children about relationships that I hadn't been informed of. And I then find myself questioning my child because I can't get the information from the mum. I don't feel like that's a great position to be in because you want information, you feel you're entitled to information, just as the sense of who is he, what's he like, basic knowledge.
Things, yeah. Thankfully, my exes don't go out of their way to disrespect me. And I think, again, that's because I'm very, you know, confident in my decisions because I know I have everybody's, not just the kids, but everybody's best interests at heart. I want to have a peaceful family.
Yes.
And when it comes to this relationship thing, it can get tricky. You know, you feel like this is going to be somebody who's around your child, you know, having hopefully a positive influence and contributing to their lives and making an impact and making memories for your child. So, I mean, I don't know. I would never drop my kid off at a babysitter that I didn't know, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know. I just always saw it as kind of the same thing. At least you want to meet that person. Like, we don't have to hang out, be best friends, but.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know? Tyler's mom's married now. Yeah. So Tyler has a stepdad. Mm-hmm. And
I have an episode about that as well.
Yeah.
Which everyone listening, you should watch because it is so adorable. He talks to Tyler about his new stepdad and how things work. So go to YouTube and check that out. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I feel we connected probably maybe 5 months after they started dating. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a cool guy, amazing guy. I'm happy that he's Tyler's stepdad. I'm glad that we had that. But there's also the fact that I feel he was coming from a place of understanding as well, because he has a child outside of his marriage now. So there was that level of understanding. I would always, being with someone, I would always welcome the child's dad and so on and so forth. I just feel there should be no animosity. There should be no fear. But I feel with males, there's an ego. Mm-hmm. There's very much an ego of, if a man is coming around your child, you then develop this fear that the man is there to take over, mm-hmm. rather than the man is actually there because of the woman. Hopefully the man loves the woman, and therefore your child comes with that woman, and that love will trickle down to your child. And but the male ego can be very, very damaging.
It can. And I'll say, it's not, I don't think it's a male female thing. I think women are the same way. And I've seen it both ways. Right now, we have a healthy audience on the Co-Parenting Collective of men. Yeah. It's a personality thing. I don't think it's a what you were born with down there thing. It's like women can be just as bad, like even worse. And it does take a healthy perspective to be part of a family that's what I call a family in progress, right? So,
yes,
you know, that's what you're joining. And a lot of people are so focused on the romance side of it that they end up resenting having to become a step parent or whatever. But that's not how it should go at all. If it's not for you, it's okay, right? I mean, how many people are on the earth? It's like, I don't know, 7 billion, 8 billion, whatever, subtract kids, I don't know. But there's enough people on earth that you could just keep dating if that's not the life for you.
I mean, question your way now. In mm-hmm. terms of meeting a new partner, meeting your children, do you feel that there's a kind of like time frame for that? Or do you feel it's an organic thing? How do you kind of judge that?
My kids were kind of like behind the velvet rope. They were like VIP. And then in dating, I just really, my son was off limits. And I tell this funny story where there was a guy who wanted to meet my son, and he was driving me bonkers about it. And it got weird. And he's like, well, you know, maybe next time you can bring your son. I'm like, I'm not bringing my son. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going anywhere with you again. So no, because it was weird to me. And it was like trying to rush and meet my son. I'm like, that's my goal. So I want to see what your nuts and bolts are about before I meet you. And then if it goes well, you know, like with my daughter's dad, I was like, okay, after 6 months, he was like, do you want to, you know, and he was really, again, the first time we sat down and talked, I had said to him, this is my life. And I just want to put that out there. So he already knew. Yeah. 6 months later, he was like, I don't know, you know, do you think you want to, you know, maybe go to the beach this weekend? And I was like, I don't know, I have my son. He said, do you think maybe he can go? And I said, I don't know, I'll think about it. So I thought about it. And then we ended up doing that. And I had to take into account my son's personality as well. He's a very low-key kid, doesn't like to be like cornered or anything like that, a very non-confrontational. So I had to think like, was this the right time for him? Would it be okay to, you know, and the beach was actually perfect because it wasn't like sit down at a table and meet.
No,
it was super casual. Literally, it was funny. They actually played. They went and got shells in the water. They played. It was great. It was fantastic. So everything just came together well. That's my take. And I have heard and I know that sometimes things are, you know, while the parents are separated, things are brewing. And then once the divorce is final, then they might move to the next phase. Or sometimes people, you know, people fall in love faster than maybe I do, or, you know, there's lots of different scenarios. I think if you just put your children and where they are, and definitely I would warn that for anyone listening, this isn't you, Aaron, because you got But anyone listening, think about where your kid is emotionally and what style of person they are, and then try to figure out meetings around that. And definitely don't have your kids involved in some, you know, in some speed dating, date-a-thon. Like, they're actually not interested in that at all.
I definitely,
they're protective of you too.
I definitely feel that there isn't a magical number in terms of, oh, it's been 6 months and now's the right time.
Not enough.
Because I put a post on Instagram the other day and it said, is 3 months too soon for someone to meet your child? And probably like 80% of people said it's way too soon. And it just made me realize that, because my last relationship, I was with someone for 4 years, mm-hmm. and they took a year to meet my children, but the relationship didn't work out. I feel that taking a year or however long is no guarantee that they're even get along with your children.
Right.
And some people take the stance, and I kind of understand it. If you wait a year for someone to meet your child, mm-hmm. and they do not click, mm-hmm. at all, mm-hmm. that's potentially a year that you've wasted, because are you going to continue to see someone that just doesn't get along with your child?
Right. Well, some people do. They do. And as a matter of fact, I just got a DM yesterday from a mom who they had written into their divorce decree somehow. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes people write crazy things, but I'm going, how would you even enforce that? So they had written in somehow that they were supposed to, both parents, if the ex met somebody, if either of them met somebody, and we're going to introduce the kids, that the other part, you know, the ex had to be there as well. And I'm like, how do you even enforce that? Like, but she had said to me, she goes, well, he didn't, so what do I do? And I go, well, pray that this person is a great person, and you'll meet him when you meet him. What are you going to do? Are you going to start lighting things on fire because you didn't have a 15-minute meeting with a stranger? You know, and then you got to trust the other parent is trying to make those decisions too.
That's what I was just about to say, is having trust that your ex won't just bring anyone around your child, that right. they would have done their research and mm-hmm. taken time to get to know someone. But
the best you can to figure it out.
Yeah, but when you have that, maybe resentment because you broke up on bad terms or you're going through a divorce, you have this animosity towards that person already. So mm-hmm. you can easily forget why you fell in love with that person and the good traits that person actually has, right. because you're so focused on the divorce or mm-hmm. potentially still hurting that individual, where there must have been good traits about that person in the first place in order for you to have a child together.
They picked me, so I mean, they picked you. I mean, it had to have, you know.
They've got some sense there, yeah.
There's some good taste somewhere, no. Or I'm just an idiot, I don't know. Yeah, I try to keep it, I try to tell people not to focus on the number. Just don't focus on the number. Focus on the character of the people that you meet. Focus on being honest right from the get-go. Focus on not sabotaging your co-parenting.
Yes.
That's one thing. Like, you know, it'll be going great. I could, thousands of stories going great, meet a new partner, not a good partner, completely unravels the entire thing. Like, the new partner will come in and get very possessive and, or sometimes jealous, and then start dictating how it should go. And why are you guys talking on a Tuesday when their visitation is on the weekend? Yeah. Like that. Like,
But that's the thing, you've got to remember the relationship with your co-parent is potentially number one. Hopefully the relationship with the new partner will last and turn to marriage and so on and so forth, but the relationship with your child's other parent will last a lifetime,
right?
So there's always going to be that connection, so it's just remembering.
Not only that, my relationship with my child is going to last my life.
Yes.
So romance, we already figured this out, okay? And maybe they should teach it in school so everybody gets the memo. But romance comes and goes, right? Yes. You're not going to stay with the first boyfriend or girlfriend you ever were with. I mean, that's rare, far and few between. As a matter of fact, people are getting married less and, you know, co-parenting more, so
divorce rates are going up.
And not even just divorce, but just unmarried people are having children, and the world is changing and evolving, and like it does, like everything does. So I would never let somebody sabotage my relationship or the environment or the protections that I have in place for my kids to be healthy adults and be able to, instead of being weighed down by their, you know, an adverse childhood, I want them to be free to go out into the world and deal with whatever the world is going to throw at them. Because we really have no idea at this point, right?
It's crazy out there. Yes, I know.
So I want them to be able to adapt to that and not be stuck in a therapist's office because I did something wrong. You know what I mean? We do the best we can. I know you have to go, Aaron. I really would love to do a part two with you.
100%. I'm always here.
We'll do it because I definitely have more questions, and you're so smart, and I wanted everybody to hear your wisdom. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
And I just want to say, I love what you're doing. I love what you stand for. Page is amazing. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the message out there. So it was wonderful talking to you. I really appreciate it. And I'll let you know when the episode comes out.
That's a wrap. What did you guys think? Aaron's amazing, right? Sorry he had to rush off at the end. He just had another appointment, so we were kind of overlapping. And plus, he's 5 hours ahead in London. So anyway, we'll be sure to get him back very soon. In the meantime, please like and share. Do all that other stuff that we're supposed to be doing so that everyone can get a little taste of Aaron's wisdom. And we'll be back with another episode very soon. In the meantime, take care of each other.